From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. For the next week, Intersection is focusing on elections. Today, we talk with Republican Caleb Rowden and Democrat Stephen Weber, the candidates for the District 19 Missouri Senate seat. District 19 includes Boone and Cooper counties. This is a seriously contested race, with both candidates campaigning hard and raising big money. To find out what makes this race so important, I talked with reporter Rudy Keller of the Columbia Daily Tribune.
The Senate race this year, the 19th district for Boone and Cooper counties, is one of the hottest and most contentious races in the state, probably the most competitive race in the state.
And why is that?
Well, it's because for 154 years after the founding of the Republican Party, Republicans have held the seat for 4 years.
Wow.
In the seat that has Boone County. Senator Kurt Schaefer won the seat in 2008, defeating an incumbent, and has held it ever since. So he's the first two-term Republican senator. It is one of the seats that is vital for the Republicans holding their two-thirds majority that allows them to override any veto that would come down from a Democratic governor.
That's a so-called supermajority.
Right. That's what they mean when they say a supermajority. It means that they've got as many or more than enough to do whatever they want, enact whatever law they want over the objections of any governor of either party. So the seat here is about 90% of the voters are in Boone County. And Boone County is traditionally Democratic. If you look back 2 years ago when the 2014 elections were held, the countywide office holders that won were Democrats in a year that Republicans were winning just about everything else. But that red tide had rolled up almost to the borders of Columbia, and almost the entire county outside of Columbia, the voters out there were voting for the Republican candidates for countywide office. So this is a real test to see if the Democrats can start getting some of those voters back. It's also a turnout test. So each side is looking to put as many of their voters into the voting booth as they can, because it literally could boil down to a few hundred votes if it's close. The Cooper County portion of the district, that's a very Republican area, and that can be expected to go about 60 to 70% for Rowden, all other things being equal. That means that Weber has to get 54% plus in Boone County to overcome that 2-to-1 margin in Cooper County. So that's the lay of the land. That's the political dynamic that's going on.
And in the midst of that, we're seeing a lot of spending on television ads.
Right. You pretty much can't run for the legislature in central Missouri without being on television anymore, especially if you're running in Boone County. But the money is available because we're in an era when there are no limits on campaign contributions. Weber has taken $500,000 plus from labor unions, oftentimes in checks of $5,000 or $10,000 or more. Rowden has taken much of his money from fellow Republicans hoping to hold the seat, and that number exceeds $800,000 for his campaign. And to put it into perspective, Rowden has raised about $1.1 million. Weber has raised about $1.5 million, with new reports due Monday.
So that's a considerable amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, there was 12 years ago, it was enough to run a statewide campaign on for a lesser office. As a matter of fact, I'm not even certain that some of the statewide candidates this year have raised as much as either of these candidates has raised for this one Senate seat.
So we should all feel like really special high-value voters here in District 19.
We are high-value voters because this seat very well could be, in a big way, the balance of power in the Missouri Senate.
Extraordinary. And you've written a bit about the content of Rowden and Weber's ads, sort of doing a truth test. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, both of the candidates, of course, have run very positive ads for themselves, mm-hmm. telling them how much they love this area, what this area means to them. For Rowden, it's about his family. He puts his wife and his child on the air. For Weber, it's about his military service, and he talks about and he's brought the men that he served with in Iraq into one of the ads. Now, to tell people why they shouldn't vote for the other, we're getting some pretty strong attack ads. The key knock on Weber that they keep using is the votes he missed as a legislator. And he missed a lot of – he's been a state legislator for 8 years. He cannot run for re-election to the House of Representatives because of term limits. In those 8 years, he also completed a degree at the University of Missouri Law School. Law school exams fall in the last 2 weeks of the legislative session. And, for example, one of the ads points out that Weber didn't vote on higher education funding. He didn't vote on public safety funding. He didn't vote on funding for a variety of things. And that was a day when Weber had an exam in the morning at the law school, and he missed 29 roll call votes, all the votes to pass the budget for final passage of the budget. The ad, however, kind of depicts him as putting on his sunglasses and sitting on the beach. So I rated that as true but misleading because he was never on the beach. He was never on vacation while he was missing those votes. One of the major attack ads that Weber is running against Rowden involves the business that Rowden's father started in late 2013 after Rowden had first won the 44th district as a state representative. Rowden is in his second term. He could have run for four more years, but then if he had not run for the Senate now and the Republicans had not put up a strong candidate, he would have been running against an incumbent state senator in Stephen Weber rather than for an open seat. Rick Rowden is the man's name, and he used to be a marketing do marketing for a grocery store in town called Knowles. Knowles has been out of business for a number of years, and so he's used those marketing skills to create a political consulting firm that provides computer assistance, web pages, other services. Just happened that those services, to the tune of $130,000 approximately, went to the House Republican Campaign Committee. That's the campaign arm for the Missouri House Republicans. They were instrumental in getting Rowden elected in his first election in 2012. The rest of the money is from various candidates that he's been paid, about $217,000 since beginning of 2014. The ad attempts to tie Rowden's position as a legislator to the business by implying that somehow Rowden is responsible for the large sums that have come from the House Republicans and other PACs in Jefferson City to Rick Rowden, this man who had no experience as a political consultant. What I decided about that ad in the ad check was that it's true but misleading. The portions that are true are the amounts of money that Rick Rowden's business, Pebble LLC, has received, that he is Caleb Rowden's father. But where it's misleading is that there's a shingle, like a lawyer would put out, and says, Rowden, Rowden, and Rowden, and we make politics pay. Well, there's no indication that Caleb Rowden is receiving a dime as a subcontractor, as an employee, or in any other way from this. So it's misleading to say that Caleb Rowden, to indicate or in any way leave the voter the impression that Caleb Rowden is personally benefiting from this, because we haven't seen any evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you show me the canceled check, and I'll change my evaluation of it. But I go by evidence.
Right.
What I can be shown. In the same way with Weber putting on the sunglasses on the beach. I mean, they never say he went on vacation, but that's the clear impression that they're trying to leave you. That's why it's misleading.
Beyond the TV ad, beyond the spin that everybody's trying to put on everything to show themselves in the best light and their opponent possibly in the worst, what do you think are the real policy differences that would affect people here?
Oh, there are enormous policy differences between these two men. Rowden has voted for right to work, the law that allows a business to say to its labor unions, you have to accept whoever we hire, whether they join your union or not, whether they pay any union dues or not. Rowden has not been willing to vote to accept federal funding to expand the Medicaid population. Rowden has been a fairly reliable vote for Republicans on many things, tax cuts and so forth, despite enormous pressure that's been brought on him to, by people in his district and even Governor Nixon in his first year. Weber has been a champion of the Missouri Non-Discrimination Act. He has promoted the idea that we need to write into law statewide that sexual identity and sexual orientation are areas where discrimination is not allowed. Weber has been a proponent of Medicaid expansion, basically in whatever form it could be passed, because the money comes into central Missouri because of the hospitals and the doctors that concentrate here. He has opposed the tax cuts that Republicans have attempted to put through, and he's been a fairly reliable Democratic vote. So you have these real differences. Now, in the majority of the Republicans in the Senate, it's much more likely that legislation that he wants to get passed will be passed if Rowden is elected. And it's less likely that Weber's legislation that he wants to get passed will be passed. However, the Senate is a more bipartisan body. It's a more collegial body than the House. And Democrats do get their bills on the floor, and they do occasionally get some pretty significant things done.
That was reporter Rudy Keller of the Columbia Daily Tribune. And today we're talking about the District 19 Missouri State Senate race. Earlier this month, KBIA reporters Michaela Tucker and Carter Woodiel spoke with Republican candidate Caleb Rowden and Democratic candidate Stephen Weber. We're going to pull excerpts from those interviews and hear the candidates talk about Medicaid expansion, job creation, and their thoughts on proposed Constitutional Amendment 6, which will be on the November 8 ballot. KBIA's Michaela Tucker talked with Caleb Rowden about his views on Medicaid expansion.
I've said all along that I am not 100% philosophically opposed to having the conversation about expanding Medicaid. You know, I think that the idea that we wouldn't do it because, you know, Obama's name is attached to it or something like that, I've said on the House floor, I think that's kind of short-sighted and just is not a constructive part of the dialogue. So in the 4 years that I've been there, we've never taken a actual policy statutory vote on expanding Medicaid. What we have done a number of times is taken a vote on a budget amendment that would add Medicaid expansion money to the budget. The problem with that is that short of passing a bill to expand Medicaid, those budget votes are unconstitutional on their face, and two, would throw a balanced budget completely out of balance because you're putting money into a budget that doesn't exist. So, I think we have to find a way to have a meaningful dialogue, one that, you know, politics is always going to be a part of this discussion post-Obamacare, it just is. But we have to find a way to have a meaningful dialogue because the reality of the coverage gap is a real reality. And that's a reality that in some way was created by Obamacare, but also is a reality that exists. And as long as that's the law of the land, then that's something that we have to talk about. So I'm not opposed to that conversation. You know, there have been a couple of proposals that Republicans have put forward in the General Assembly, Jay Barnes from Jeff City, Ryan Silvey from the Kansas City area, that I thought were meaningful. You know, I thought they took the realities of kind of some of the concerns that maybe some Republicans have had and tried to find a way to address those. And so, you know, there are Republicans who are not 100% closed off to the idea, but I think you also have to be mindful of the fact that on the existing Medicaid population, that population has grown fairly substantively, both in number and in dollar, over the last few years. The woodwork effect that we saw, that we thought was going to be the case because of Obamacare, ended up being the case. So more people knew that they were eligible, took advantage of that eligibility. But, you know, last year, Medicaid expenses grew by almost $500 million. And so when you talk about how we fund transportation and how we fund K-12 and higher education, you know, I think a lot of folks want to say, well, we're cutting taxes and that's the problem. No, the problem is Medicaid. I mean, there's absolutely nothing else that is a part of that discussion when it comes to, again, prioritizing budget dollars that are available. Because when it comes to Medicaid, and especially the general revenue part of Medicaid, we don't have a choice in spending it. You know, I mean, it's just something that you have to do, or the federal government's going to rip it out from underneath you. So there are a lot of variables. You know, the emotional argument for Medicaid expansion is very, very compelling. But I think we have to find a way to do it responsibly, and we have to find a way to do it that in a way that doesn't throw a balanced budget completely out of whack and do something unconstitutional that ends up doing more harm than good.
That was Caleb Rowden sharing his thoughts on the issue of Medicaid expansion. This is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM, and today we're exploring the District 19 Missouri State Senate race. District 19 includes Boone and Cooper counties. KBIA's Carter Wadeel talked with Democratic candidate Stephen Weber about his views on Medicaid expansion.
Basically, the federal government used to just give hospitals money, disproportionate share payments, DSH payments, which were for uncompensated care, which means that care that a hospital provided to somebody, by law, they had to provide life-saving care to somebody, and that person had no means to pay the hospital back, so the hospital ate the cost, right? So the federal government used to give them these DSH payments. They've eliminated those. Instead, they've tried to make sure that everybody in the country has health insurance. For better or worse, that's the direction that the federal government is going in. People at the low end of the economic spectrum cannot afford to buy health insurance, right? We're talking about the people that don't work at all are currently in the Medicaid system. The people we're talking about are the working poor, the folks that make minimum wage, they make, you know, $8, $8.50 an hour, work a couple different jobs. And they make less than $20,000 a year. And there's a lot of people like that. They can't afford to buy health insurance. So the plan was that they were going to be on expanded Medicaid. So when they go to a hospital, they would have somebody to pay the bill. They could receive care, and the hospital would get compensated. The state of Missouri has chosen not to expand Medicaid. So the federal government said they're going to pay the full tab for the first 3 years, and then it steps down gradually till eventually the federal government's paying 90% and the state's paying 10%. And this would bring in over $1 billion a year into our healthcare industry. It would give healthcare access to 300,000 more people, and it would help, you know, fund one of the biggest industries in our community and in our state. The Republicans in the House created a committee to look at the fiscal impact of Medicaid expansion. It was chaired by Republican Representative Jay Barnes from Cole County. What he found out, going through and not counting for economic growth and increased taxes, but just in straight budget savings, by shifting people that the state is currently paid for into the federal pot, by eliminating double counting and things like that, it would save the state at the time. It was $70 million a year that Medicaid expansion would save the state of Missouri. Republican numbers show we can save taxpayer dollars by taking advantage of the federal dollars that we're already paying our taxes for to take care of our people. So let's be very clear on this. The option before us in Medicaid expansion is, without raising taxes at all, we can expand healthcare coverage to 300,000 people. We can bring $1 billion into one of the biggest economic sectors of our state, the healthcare sector, and we can save $70 million in state taxpayer dollars, which I propose that we reinvest in higher education. That seems like a no-brainer to me. And every argument that has been made against it, to me, is just a partisan excuse, because when you actually look at the numbers, it saves state taxpayers' dollars.
That was Democratic candidate Stephen Weber sharing his views on Medicaid expansion. Next, we'll hear from Weber again, this time on proposed Constitutional Amendment 6, which will be on the November 8th ballot and is about voter photo ID.
So I'm voting no on Amendment 6. I think that it's a solution in search of a problem, I guess, is kind of the phrase. If you were to say, if you were to tell, most people agree that voting is a right. I hope everybody agrees it's a right. If you were to tell most conservatives, Republicans, that they had to register their picture with the government to exercise one of their rights, they would lose their minds about that, right? And they wouldn't support that. Well, that's what you have to do here, because it's not just part of the issue with photo ID is it's not just a photo ID. It's a government-issued photo ID. So, for example, it's a big deal in Columbia, because the University of Missouri, even though it's a public school, is not a government. The student IDs are not government-issued IDs for those purposes. So, people who have a driver's license from Illinois and then have their permanent residence in Missouri and want to vote in Missouri, If this were to pass, so not this cycle, but in future cycles, they would not be able to show their student ID and vote. They wouldn't be able to show their Illinois driver's license and vote. And so that would make it more complicated for a lot of people to vote. And what we've always said is, if there's voter fraud, if there's a problem with absentee voting or something like that, address that. But explain where this in-person voter fraud of people showing up and impersonating other people are. And the other side has never provided any examples of that. So what we've seen is something that makes it more difficult for people to vote without any clear explanation of what the problem we're trying to solve is.
Do you think that this is discriminatory in nature? Do you think it's trying to disenfranchise people?
I think it absolutely disproportionately impacts historically disadvantaged communities. So, for example, it's more difficult for women because they often change their name when they're married. And so in order to get a government ID, you have to have your birth certificate now because of changes from 9/11. And so it can be more difficult for a woman that is married and has changed her name to go back and chronologically get all the paperwork to prove who she is. And so that has a disproportionate impact on women. It tends to have a disproportionate impact on minorities.
That was Steven Weber on proposed Constitutional Amendment 6, which will be on the November 8th ballot and is about voter photo ID. Here's Republican State Senate candidate for District 19, Caleb Rowden, on proposed Constitutional Amendment 6.
For one, I think the documentation that you have to become a student or to get a student ID probably means more, you know, a vast majority of the time that you're going to have the documentation that you need to vote. So I think the idea that there are, based on the conversations that we have, that there are huge swaths of people that have student IDs that don't have a photo ID, I don't think is a large group of individuals. And this legislation, again, one that the Democratic governor nominee said he would have signed, was a compromise. It doesn't keep anybody from voting. It just makes sure it goes through the process with the affidavit process that if you don't have the documentation there, you still vote, you provide that documentation, and everything's fine, right? So it's not the idea that it's some sort of if you don't present, you know, you have to jump through 10 hoops, and if you don't do all of that, you don't get to vote. You know, it's the opposition wanted to make this much, much more egregious than it was. And I think there are some versions of voter ID in other states that, you know, went further, did more. But this truly was a compromise in every sense of the word. And so, you know, it's an issue that becomes political. But, I mean, it has 70% of support in my district. It has 70% of support statewide. It's hard for me to imagine that, you know, with all of the things that you can do around that require a photo ID, that we wouldn't do the same thing with one of the most important things that we have the ability to do, and that is to vote. So, you know, I've said all along, if and when voter ID passes, we voted on it in 2012. We voted on it every year in the House, but I said in 2012, or 2013, after I got elected, that, you know, I'd work as the representative in Northeast Columbia, Northeast Boone County, that if folks didn't have access, that needed to find a way to get that ID, that I'd do everything in my power to help them get it. And I mean that. This is not I don't know what the motivation of voter ID is for everyone. For me, it is not to disenfranchise anyone. You know, I think anybody who wants to vote should be able to vote. But you want to make sure that that every vote counts and counts the way that it's supposed to.
That was candidate Caleb Rowden. Job creation is a big issue in mid-Missouri. So what ideas are candidates for the Missouri District 19 Senate seat bringing to the table? Here's Republican candidate Caleb Rowden.
The last 2 years, I was the chairman of the Economic Development Committee, and we tried to, you know, kind of that whole conversation has gotten bogged down inside a tax credit discussion for the last number of years. And so basically, nothing much has gotten accomplished in that realm because there are people who kind of want to maintain the status quo as it relates to tax credits, people who want to cut them, and if everybody doesn't get what they want, then it just turns into the stalemate. And so what we tried to do is kind of reconstruct the dialogue a little bit, you know, so that there were actually things that we could get done. So I think, you know, we worked on legislation that would take a more proactive approach in looking at business regulation, specifically on small businesses. I think what happens a lot with agencies that enact regulations on businesses, they do them and then they just kind of forget about them. And so sometimes, obviously, regulation is needed in certain cases, but sometimes it's only needed for a season. And so we've been looking at trying to find ways to make sure that if regulations are in place, that they're doing what they're supposed, what it's supposed to do. And if it's not, and if it's causing, you know, some sort of undue burden on small business, then we get rid of it or we find another way to make it work. So we've done that. We've also, last couple of years, we've worked on trying to incentivize investments into entrepreneurial ventures and, you know, investments into new startups and small businesses.
That was Republican candidate for Missouri Senate, Caleb Rowden. And here's Democratic candidate for District 19, Stephen Weber, on potential job creation.
We are an education town, like I talked about. We're a healthcare town, so I think we need to invest in our strengths, and we need to invest in those two things. One of the ideas that I've had that I've been talking a lot about is utilizing the MU Research Reactor. It's a unique resource. When you're looking at, you know, competing with other communities for jobs, you're creating jobs, there are certain things that everybody offers. Right? Everybody tries to offer tax incentives. Everybody tries to offer access to highways or well-trained workforces. All those things are important, but there's something that everybody claims that they have or tries to accentuate that they have. The MU Research Reactor is a resource that really only Columbia has. And there's sort of a perfect storm brewing where right as when science is getting to the point where we can use the MU Research Reactor to develop cancer diagnostics and cancer treatments, other research reactors around the world. So there's an increased demand for what they can do at MUR, at the MU Research Reactor. There's also other reactors around the world that are closing, so there's a reduction in supply. And so I think that we can invest some money in MU Research Reactor in terms of building out some of its teaching space, its lab space, and create a workforce that can help attract some radiopharmaceutical industries to mid-Missouri. And I think we can actually create both in terms of developing and also production, a lot of cancer diagnostics here. And I think it's a natural thing, utilizing some, you know, synergy between the university and the healthcare infrastructure we have here.
This is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM. We've been listening to Republican Caleb Rowden and Democrat Stephen Weber, the candidates for the Missouri District 19 Senate seat. Please tune in Wednesday for conversations with the candidates for Missouri's Attorney General. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you to our guests, Rudy Keller of the Columbia Daily Tribune, and candidates Caleb Rowden and Stephen Weber. Our music is Montana Skies. And thank you to our producers, Mary McIntyre, Molly Olmsted, Sophia Zhang, Lauren Wrigley, and Jennifer Prohov. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection, here on KBIA 91.3 FM.